the lighthouse keeper's quarters, then you go to the workroom and then up to the gallery area where you have a phenomenal view of Harbor Beach and the water out, and then you can take a peek inside where the original lens once was housed. And
a lot of lighthouses, you really never really get to the top because, you know, there's sometimes the stairs are rickety, or they were really not what we would call stairs. They were a ladder.
Yes.
that was suitable for one guy who was super skinny and could get into there. But we were lucky enough with Harbor Beach that you can actually just go up there.
When the Coast Guard was still maintaining the light, we didn't allow people up there because that was still a navigational beacon owned by the Coast Guard. So we weren't allowed to have visitors up at that time. But now the Coast Guard has moved their light to the break wall.
So they're on the other side of the main channel entrance with their light.
Actually the same side. Just
it is the same
beyond,
side?
Behind the lighthouse from shore.
Okay. And basically that frees you up because it's no longer federal navigational aid. It's your private one.
Right now it is no navigational aid. There is no lens in the lantern room.
I heard they made you go up there with a flashlight every night.
Well, let's hope we don't have to go to that.
Right. But people will see it furbished with basically, you know, period pieces. And Skip, you were saying that you have people calling you up and getting some of the original stuff back to the lighthouse.
Yes, it's been very fortunate. That's we've received photographs of people that were working at the lighthouse and from their daughters, their grandchildren. We received a clock that was originally in the fog signal building. We received some small lenses that were on green and red lenses that were on top of buoys that were out there. A lot of unique pieces. Now, Captain Trescott was a keeper for 34 years. His grandson comes to Harbor Beach and he still has the captain's uniform. And we hope to someday that they may be interested in letting us display it.
There was an official uniform.
Yes, his dress uniform.
And did he have to do this even if he were, in the early days they had to row out there, but by his time they already had a lighthouse where you could live in?
Yes, still had to row out there. But he was the keeper, I cannot remember the dates, but for 34 years. And according to the lighthouse establishment, he had a work uniform, he had a dress uniform, and if he was working in the lantern room, he had to wear a very soft apron so that nothing would scratch the lens at all. And they were very strict.
Well, I imagine it was done to instill in them the need that this is a profession not to be taken lightly. I mean, this is one of the things where sailors out there relied on these lights. And we didn't have GPS, we didn't have satellites, we didn't have everything else. This is the way you knew about where you were in the lake when navigation was by the stars and the seat of your pants.
That's correct. Yes. Actually, the early lighthouse keepers were a presidential appointment.
Really?
President Lincoln.
You had to know somebody, really, to get it? Kind of one of those
yes.
things?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like going to West Point. You had to know somebody to get
yes.
appointed to this?
And sometimes keepers did not work out. They just were in it for the glory of being called a keeper or being rewarded for some political thing. But for the most part, the Harbor Beach keepers all remained. And we have records, and some of keepers have been removed. If I remember right, all of our keepers were either retired or moved on. They were not removed from their position.
Well, and they were a pivotal person in the community through those years, too.
That's correct. Yes.
Everybody knew the lighthouse that was there for, and you knew who the lighthouse keeper was. Now, the tours, they're, what, Saturdays?
Saturdays only, yes. They operate from 10 o'clock in the morning until 1 in the afternoon.
And as I understand it, if you get out there on the first boat, you can kind of stay a little longer. You don't have to come back when that boat comes
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely.
You can, if you want to stick around and see a little more, you can.
Yes. We do allow you to stay out unless you're on that last boat or last couple of boats. Then we try to make sure that everybody is back in a timely manner. Can't spend the night out there.
You did have a wedding out there, though.
Yes, there was a wedding out there. But the best way to make a reservation before you go, we are already booking our tour season online, and that's a pretty simple thing to do. You can either use PayPal or charge card, and just go to harborbeachlighthouse.org, and there's all sorts of information about tours and about everything that's happening at the lighthouse.
Do you just register for that day or particular departure times?
Actually, you register for the day, and then you pick a time frame. There are only so many people we can take out each of our tours.
I've been in the lighthouse. You wouldn't want 70 people out there.
No, but we only can fit 6 on our boat going out at a time. So it is set up so that once a certain number of people within an hour time frame, then it moves you to a different time frame. So it blocks it out and it's not available. But tours are already booking for our opening day, June 20th, and we have lots of tours that are already booked for July 4th and Maritime Festival the 11th and our birthday celebration July 18th. So we already have numerous reservations that people have their tickets in their hands, so to speak.
And you have to let you know how many are coming.
How many are coming, yes.
And is there an age you'd recommend, if they're too young? Because they tend to run around, and you are out on a break wall, and it was designed for adults, people who knew what was going on, and you don't want anyone hurt.
That's true. We have had some young children that have come out to the light. We try to keep them age 10, 12 above, but we certainly don't discourage them. If you show up and you've got a youngster that's 5 or 6 and can go out.
Herding cats comes to mind.
Right, and once they're out on the break wall, we do ask the parents to please hold their hand while they're on the break wall, and then once they're inside the light, it's okay until they get up to the top, and then
touch.
We ask them also to hold onto their hand because that's where they can actually look, and it's a pretty amazing sight. So
it's a lovely view from the top.
It is. We try not to discourage them, yet we let them know that safety is important, and that's paramount. So
because it wasn't designed really for tours, it was designed for a lighthouse keeper to take care of this, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to. The lighthouse keepers were generally solitary people. They didn't have kids at the lighthouse.
If they did, the families lived ashore.
Because they had to go to school.
Yes.
But online reservations is the best way to do that.
I didn't want to discourage anyone. I just wanted to,
Oh, no,
parents
absolutely.
Need to know their own kids, and how they're going to react. And if they're going to be bouncing off the walls, they're very tight walls.
They are. And We also allow service animals. Last year we had 3 different service animals go out, and 2 were trained service animals, and the 3rd one was a puppy in training, and we were pretty amazed at those animals and how just the verbal commands. We thought, oh, this is great. Can you stick around when there are some other people here?
You can't get yours to stop chewing your socks, and these are doing all these marvelous things.
But it was incredible because they actually could climb the ladders as well, and just with a simple word command. So even service animals, if you're one that requires that. Now, handicap accessible is another story because there is climbing. We have had people come out and they just want the experience of going out to the light. They don't climb the stairwell inside the light. They will stay down on the break wall, which is perfectly okay.
You're not forced to do anything.
No, not forced to do anything.
Especially if you're not comfortable with it, because you're a guest.
Absolutely. And all of our people that visit are our guests, so, and we treat them as such.
Okay, and then you bring them back. And you have a gift shop, I understand, that allows people who are, there are a lot of people really into lighthouses, that might find something of a collectible or whatever for the Harbor Beach Lighthouse.
We have the world's smallest gift shop on the world's greatest freshwater man-made harbor. I believe that's how it goes. But it's quite small, but we have some very unique items that are just for the Harbor Beach Light. And we have some new items we'll be adding this year. So,
now, do you license the Harbor Beach Lighthouse so that other people aren't making money off of your lighthouse?
We have not yet. Haven't had that issue.
There are so many people interested in lighthouses, you know, that, you know, you want them to have a genuine, not a copy.
that's true, but I guess we kind of look at it as, if you want a picture of our light, and if you want to share it with your friends and your family and whoever else, it's wonderful, because it's getting our light. We're sharing our light.
It's promoting us, so yeah. The lighthouse. So.
And that's what it's all about. It's an awesome, just being a part of the whole Lighthouse Preservation Society and being out there, too.
Now, do you have to schedule maintenance around the tours? Because, you know, you're out in the water and, you know, there's painting, there's all these things you need to do to preserve a metal structure in a harbor. And, you know, these things take time and the weather doesn't always cooperate. And, and you also have to have people who are willing to do it and willing to go out there. So do you have to schedule maintenance and work at specific times, you know, through the week before the tours and make sure the paint's dry?
Yes, maintenance is done Wednesday mornings. We have a crew that goes out around 8:30 and stays till at least noon, sometimes even longer. And that way we can get out there, scrape some paint, get it painted, get some primer on it, and then clean up our mess before the tours on the weekend. Sometimes we have to do a little bit of cleaning once we get out there for tours. Just because we run out of time in the maintenance crew, but for the most part, it's been working out pretty well.
Is it kind of like a bridge? It's constant maintenance?
Continual.
About the time you paint to the top, you got to start at the bottom again?
It's a metal structure. It doesn't look like it, but it is. The exterior of the lighthouse is metal, and the floors and ceilings, well, the ceilings are metal, so you've got a rust issue out there in the water. So it's scraping, it's priming, and then cover coating, and you start at the bottom, you go to the top.
Inside and out.
Correct, yes.
Because rust doesn't stop on the outside. If it's damp on the inside, and you know, nowadays we have climate control, but in the old days, you had what you had. Okay. You were working to get a replica of the Fresnel lens into the lighthouse. It was taken out. The Coast Guard had a little LED thing in there for years that was solar powered because they didn't want to station somebody out there and they needed something that was automatic. I hear we've got a beautiful replica of the lens going back in.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that the Coast Guard, when they removed the original fourth order lens, placed it in the museum in Harbor Beach, so it is still there for people to see. But we, in the last 2 years, have raised money to have an exact replica of the fourth order Fresnel lens.
When you say exact, it's size and how it looks. It's not necessarily the heavy crystals and the heavy metals they used at the time.
It's exact, except for that the prisms are no longer glass. They are made of plastic, highly polished plastic, and the will no longer have a kerosene wick burning on the inside. There'll be a high strength, high power LED light shining out the light. And it will rotate just like the previous light. It'll cast the white light out to the lake, and followed by the red panel when it goes across, it'll be a red light and alternate between the red and the white.
Does it basically throw the light out to the water, or do the folks on shore get a flash every so often?
The way we're setting it up initially is it will be 360 degrees, which is the way the lens was. It would cast a light on shore. There are little hooks up in the lighthouse where somebody had put a curtain up at one time. They were only along the shore side. But from what I understand, the hooks used to go all the way around because they would enclose it. They'd put a curtain up so the lens wouldn't be subjected to sunlight. And
were there fears that it might reflect through sunlight like a magnifying glass and maybe burn something? Or because these are highly polished and highly focused crystals.
That's correct. I would imagine. Why wouldn't it work that way? Just like a magnifying glass.
So you're wondering why the paint's always burning on this side of the wall here. Well, it's not coming from the outside, that's for sure. So there was a lot more to it that they probably had to learn on site. You know, if you have that particular problem here, it may not be a problem in Cape Hatteras or somewhere else with a different style lens or whatever, but here it could have been.
Mm-hmm. But we were able to raise the money. We found a company in Florida. It's called Artworks of Florida. That make the replica lenses and contacted them. They sent a representative up to take measurements and photographs of our original lens. Luckily, we still have it here.
No craftsmen and artisanmen from the old days that did it by hand and did it by eye. And now it's probably all on computer somewhere.
Oh,
if you need
yes.
a replacement crystal someday, they can just polish one up for you.
Even the lenses, the plastic lenses, are cast in molds, which are made on a 3D printer, so and everything is all done electronically, but it will still function the same, look the same, and we'll have that great white and red lens.
But it'll be lot easier to carry to the top than the old one was. That glass, even though the Fresnel lens was designed to get rid of a lot of glass and still give you the same shot out into the lake, they were still quite heavy.
Yes, the one that's in the original that's in the lighthouse. Excuse me, in the Grice House, first of all, it's priceless. And second of all, it weighs a ton. We had to move it, and we, according to the government, it doesn't belong to the city of Harbor Beach or the Grice House. It still belongs to the United States Coast Guard. And they stipulated.
Because it's priceless.
Yes. They stipulated we had to have a certified lampist come in. And there are only like two or three lampists throughout the country. And he had to disassemble. He had to move the lens for us. With our new one, we embarked on this project. It was going to cost quite a bit of money, approximately $65,000 to have the lens made and installed. And we were very fortunate that we had a fundraiser, and people mostly from the city of Harbor Beach, some from and out, came through with the money. And hopefully, at the beginning of July now, it will be installed. I say hopefully, it's... They are in the process of polishing the prisms and the brass, and it was going to be in the end of this month, end of June, but put off a little bit, and because of the couple glitches they came up with at the polishing process, but should be in first week, second week, and we'll be lighting it July 18th at the birthday party.
Did you get lucky and a lot of the mounting stuff was still there, or did all of that have to be replicated or dreamt up? Because, you know, the lens is the lens, but it's got to spin, smoothly, and you have to be able to access, access to light the wick, but on all of these types of things that, there was a whole science to it when they built them.
We were fortunate the lens was there, the large gear that it sits on is still there, so they were able to get the information they needed off that. The pedestal we still have, so they have the pedestal, which is going to be exactly the same. And of course, they did a lot of research. And this isn't the only fourth order lens. As a matter of fact, the fourth order lens, Fresnel lens, is the most commonly found lighthouse lens on the Great Lakes. It was just the one that worked out best for our situation. So there's a lot of them out, and there's a lot of old drawings.
But they weren't mass-produced. They were kind of, handcrafted, built, maybe from a plan, but it wasn't like Henry Ford was in the background saying, okay, you make a lens, you make the rail, and you make the turning mechanism. They crafted it like a sports car.
And this original lens was installed in 1885, so it was built probably a year or two earlier. At that time, I believe Fresnel had moved from France to and was then producing the lenses in Europe, in England. So they had to be imported over here, and any chips prism had to be replaced. And
don't even talk that way. That would have been a nightmare.
Yes, but we've come a long way in the production of the Fresnel lens, and hopefully for the better. This should cast out the light good 15 to 20 miles offshore, and it'll be quite a spectacle.
And you were mentioning there was a pattern to the beacon that boaters going up the Lake Huron shoreline would know this is Harbor Beach, not Port Sanilac and not Lighthouse Park. It had a certain pattern to it and colors.
That's true. Each lighthouse has its own flash sequence, and the Harbor Beach flash sequence was that it would flash white for 1 second, and then there'd be a 4 second eclipse, which no light, and then a 1 second red, and then another 4 second eclipse. And so if you were offshore and you looked off and saw a lighthouse flashing that pattern, you'd look on your chart and it'd say on the chart that you're off Harbor Beach, Michigan. Like you say, Port Sanilac and Lighthouse Park would have a different flash sequence, so they would know where they were, which lighthouse they were at. This is all prior to GPS and electronic navigation.
So. And then the poor sailors, they had to know, we're close enough to see it, we're not too close. Because you didn't want to run aground.
Either. So true. Yes.
Okay. So this is coming. Any idea when people might want to schedule so they can see this?
We hope to have the lens installed the second week of July. And still a lot of wiring to do. We're installing solar panels and running wiring down the lighthouse out to the breakwell where the solar collectors will be.
Because you refuse to haul kerosene?
Correct. And once we get them out there, get it all wired in, then we'll have our grand unveiling on July 18th, the evening of July 18th.
It's amazing how we use the most high-tech stuff to bring the classic stuff to life again.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And all of this you had to permit through the government, because that is their breakwell. It is. they do not like people strapping stuff onto their breakwell willy-nilly.
And a lot of permitting. Of course, the city of Harbor Beach owns the lighthouse. So the city and council officially gave us their blessings to do this. We needed to get in touch with the Corps of Engineers, who own the breakwell, to get to be authorized to mount the solar collectors there.
Because they worry every time something's drilled into that thing.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's usually the weakest point then on cement, is when you start putting holes in it.
And the United States Coast Guard had to approve the private aid navigation of the light being shining out there.
So you can actually light it.
Yes,
you could
will.
Put the lens in, but you couldn't light it without their approval, because they're in control of what people see out in the water.
They have to notify all Great Lakes ships, and any charts that are being made will be then notified that there will be a white and red flash out there, which is a private aid and navigation at the Harbor Beach Lighthouse.
And so their new one that they put out there doesn't have the flash pattern the old one did?
No, it does not. It's just a blinking.
It's
white
just light. A light to mark it, because we have GPS and all the rest of the things in life today that show us exactly where we're at.
That's correct. And the fact that the breakwell, both the breakwell and the lighthouse, are national historic buildings and structures, we need to get permission from the State Historic Office, too, to mount things on the breakwell to change the anything we do in the lighthouse. So it's been a lot of paperwork, a lot of phone calls, plus a lot of just bulwark working out there.
But when the city got the lighthouse and the association started to preserve it, and you had to take special care to do things authentically.
That's correct. We're under the auspices of the National Park Service, and they actually have a binder about 2 inches thick that tells how to maintain a lighthouse. And we're very fortunate we can go back and look up things when we need. But Technology is always changing, and they're always adapting. So, and it's an ongoing process.
Is this something that can be maintained indefinitely, or will eventually the weather take its toll? I mean, you've got a metal structure. Metal, again, and water usually aren't the most compatible. Is this something that, if it's maintained right, we can pass this on to many generations, as opposed to having it fall into disrepair like it was about to when it was abandoned?
It can be maintained properly, yes. The paint being used inside and on the exterior now, of course, with the new technology and paint, we're able to put primer on that kills rust, and a cover coat that rejects the UV rays of the sun. And it can be maintained. Yes, it can. It's been there for 130 years, and we hope it's there for another 130.
Can this maintenance, you know, give you real headaches? I mean, you're talking paint. Paint in the old days, lead. You're right around the water. There's a whole lot of people who are, you know, very interested that they don't mix. Was this a whole lot of things you had to test and see what you had there and what you had to seal and everything else to make it work right?
When I first got started back in 1996 on the lighthouse, the interior of the lighthouse, the paint was just chipping off. It was due to the condensation, the difference in temperatures between the outside and the inside.
And paint didn't bond that well in the old
days. It formed condensation. It would freeze and force the paint. So we took a bunch of chips one time, and we gave it to a chemical engineer at Dow Chemical Plant in Harbor Beach, and said, is there lead in this paint? And we got our test results back that said, wow, is there lead in this paint?
you were all set if there was a nuclear holocaust, because you'd be safe in the lighthouse.
Probably, yes. But we were able to talk to the United States Coast Guard. They sent a crew up from the maintenance ship Bramble down in Port Huron, and in complete hazmat gear, they scraped out the interior of the lighthouse, and they were only going to scrape and paint the first two floors. We asked if they would continue scraping up and we'd take care of the painting, and they said sure. They scraped the interior, took all the lead base paint away in on their boats, and disposed of it properly. And then we went through and put primer all over the interior walls and did finish coat. And so we've been very fortunate in getting assistance like that from the Coast Guard.
Because that can be a major expense, just
yes.
The disposal of it, let alone the people who know what they're doing to take it out and to do it in an area where, you know, it's lunchtime, let's go, you know, to the restaurant or something. You're in the middle of the harbor there.
I mean, a mile offshore.
So. They had to, you know, have specialized people who could do this and would be there for
sure.
You. And that's terrific.
And the exterior of the lighthouse has a more modern two-part epoxy type paint on the outside, so the lead is not the issue out there.
Terrific.
Yeah, so.
You got to worry about these things because, you know, if you don't, somewhere down the line it'll haunt you.
That's true.
And you're looking not just to the lighthouse, but there was a building next to it that eventually, I understand, you guys hope to kind of put something back.
Yes, there was. When you look at old pictures of the lighthouse, you'll see the tower and then a building next to it. Looks like a house. When I first got started, I thought that's where the people lived, the men. I say men because there are only male keepers out there. But
it's not like women could keep a light going? Come on.
Not to say there weren't women visitors there, but...
That's the whole story and lore of wanting to be a lighthouse keeper.
Yes. But the fog signal building was for the equipment to generate the foghorn. Initially, they had boilers, and they would have to get a fire going in the firebox to warm the water, to create steam, to cause the foghorn.
The foghorn is like a police siren almost. The steam makes it spin, and that makes it howl, and away you go?
The initial foghorn was like a steam whistle. Then they changed it over to the big, I can't remember the name of the horns, but they had two large horns sticking out of the building towards the east, towards the water, and then it made a distinctive B-O BO sound, and it was distinctive to Harbor Beach at that time also.
So not only the lights were distinctive, but in the fog, the horns were distinctive.
As much as could be, yes.
And then, you know, you knew you were coming to Harbor Beach, and there's a great big chunk of cement out there. Be careful.
Yeah. 4 mile long breakwall. And eventually they put electronic fog signal device on the gallery deck of the lighthouse, and the fog signal building was no longer needed, and it was torn down in the 60s. So we hope to rebuild that. It'd be a great place to have historical presentations and displays there in the building.
You have to be historically correct on it, because the old days wouldn't make it insulated or necessarily, you know, as watertight as you want if you're mm-hmm. going to have artifacts in there.
True. We have the plans, actually the working plans for building it. And of course the 2x4s were a full-size 2x4, not an inch and a half by 3.5. And
anyone who's remodeled an old house knows what
yes.
the real 2x4s are, because you can't find them anymore.
Well, we're going to have it all milled. We'll have to find a mill, which there are a few in the area, and hopefully they'd have some pine and can mill them to our size, and then we'd have to dry them through the winter and hopefully build next summer or the summer after.
And how big of a structure was this? Did this really take up a lot of the platform next to it?
It would actually take up most of the platform next to it. I believe the building was 44 by 28, if I remember right.
Well, if you got a horn, the boiler, and you're going to have coal or something to get the steam going.
Yep. There were actually two boilers.
Oh, you had a backup?
Yeah, there were two boilers and two fireboxes. And underneath that structure is a cellar, which where they had their coal, and they would bucket it up and fill the firebox. Eventually they removed that and they put two gasoline engines inside the fog signal building, which operated a compressor, and they had compressed air. Now if they needed to have fog signal back when it was still the boiler system, it would take 45 minutes to an hour to build up steam to produce the fog signal with the
but these gentlemen who were keepers, they knew when it was coming. They had the instinct, they had the training, and they had the, you know, just the foresight.
Yeah,
these are the conditions around here, and it's going to be foggy, so I better get this thing going, and they were ready for it.
But once we went to the compressor, it was a matter of opening a valve, and it sounded. And, of course, like I say now, none of that equipment remains. It's moved on somewhere. I don't know where. And when the Coast Guard removed it, but we do have now electronic fog signal that's mounted out in the breakwall.
And you mentioned something that people probably don't even, I until you mentioned it before we started the show. There's a basement. There's a basement at the lighthouse. That just seems kind of, you look at it and you think, well, they poured the slab and they put the lighthouse on it.
Yeah. Yes, there is a basement. It's very rough. It was never finished as a full.
Was it made when it was poured, or did they have to itch it out as they went along and needed more space?
When they built the foundation the lighthouse is based on, they made a basement, and then they put the lighthouse over the top of that opening. And it's about a 7-foot basement. It's during the Coast Guard period, there was a shower down there. During the Coast Guard period also, when they operated the lighthouse, there was a bathroom out on in the fog signal building. But the basement is rough. We just use it for storage at this time.
You didn't want to be going when that fog lamp went off. Oh my gosh, that would be a mess. But anyway, you were saying?
The basement is rough. Right now it's closed off to our tours because the railing there is no railing on the stairway going down. It's unsafe.
But it was extra storage that people had for the time there, and because you look at the lighthouse and you wonder how you could get everything you'd need inside it.
Sure.
But you did have a basement.
Or if you'd get stuck out there. There was a tale told one time that there was an ice storm or a storm during the winter and fall, waves breaking up, iced over the lighthouse, and the lighthouse keeper could not get out because the ice on the outside of the door.
froze the door solid shut?
Oh, there's things in lighthouse logs about the keepers going up and using an axe to knock off the ice buildup on the windows around the outside, and so the light would be cast out.
Well, I can see the railings. You get splash or whatever, and it would just kind of build up.
But
enough to seal the door, that would be scary.
Some people in town, maybe his relatives, said, he hasn't made it in a few days, so... a crew went out there and found that he couldn't get out, so they had to take a axe and beat their way through the ice so he could open the door. So.
I'm just thinking that would be a problem because the toilet is in the other building.
True.
Just me.
And there's no connecting.
There's no connecting tunnel. Right?
No.
Poor dear. So that's something on the horizon for it. Are there other things you're looking for? You mentioned people have been coming in with artifacts. Are you looking for people who might have some of the history, even pictures or whatever, of lighthouse keepers and that you'd like to build up a supply of?
Excuse me. Yes, we're always looking for information, photographs. A lot of times people might have their mothers or grandmothers and grandfathers or great-grandparents' photographs, and in there is a picture of the lighthouse. And if they could notify us and let us get a photocopy or a scan.
Because you don't have to
scan
the picture anymore. It can be scanned, and it's there, and you've got a record of it. And, if they know the date, it'd be even better.
Sure. Could identify the people in it. It'd be fine. But
that's what I tell my sisters and everybody else. Write their names on the back. Because, your kids are not going to know who these people are.
That's true.
But these are the types of things that you're looking for because it builds the history and keeps it preserved, not scattered all over the place. And
sure. Years ago, I was working at the marina, and I got a call from a motel in town and said, gentleman said, I have a man staying here, a couple staying here, that he was stationed at the lighthouse, and he was wondering if he could possibly go out there. And I agreed to it. I took them out on the lighthouse boat, he and his wife, and they were in their upper 80s, maybe 90s. And we got out on the lighthouse, and the lady pointed to the corner where of the fog signal building, and she says, right there is where I met him. And they met at the lighthouse, were married and still married at that time. And it was quite an honor, and the man was just a wealth of knowledge of what went on out there.
We're losing a lot of knowledge if people don't pass it along.
That's correct.
And get it recorded. So I appreciate your efforts, especially for the folks in Harbor Beach who see that lighthouse every day and would like to know that the history of it's being preserved.
Thank you.
Again, tell people if they want to, because we're getting a little short on time.
Yeah.
Tell people how they want to get on a tour, how they can do that. And
HarborBeachLighthouse.org. And then it's quite easy to navigate the site up at the top. Just click on the menu tours and take you right to the date that you'd like to come. And you can purchase your tickets online. We also have our birthday celebration coming up July 18th.
And we're going to be talking about more on that.
Right, and we're going to talk about more on that. But on the website, there's a bunch of information that they can go to and see what is happening on that day. They want a sneak preview. And if somebody does want to be involved in being a docent or a guide, everything is scripted. So you don't have to have a lot of background knowledge in your pocket, but guarantee that after the first time out there, you are going to be like a sponge and want to get all of the knowledge that's possible. So if they do want to become a docent, simply a call to Annette, and her number is 248-921-6867.
And so the tours start in a week or two? And
tours start June 20th.
June 20th. Hopefully the weather will be nice and warm and people can enjoy it. Thanks for being with us. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Congratulations on getting the lighthouse a few years ago for the city and keeping it up.
We hope everybody comes out and takes a look.
Our guests today on the program have been Shelley Bomer and Wayne Skip Kadar. We've been talking about the Harbor Beach Lighthouse Tours. You can go to their website. It'll show you how to make a reservation if you want. I believe as well they have the gift shop online if you want to buy something as well. So you can stop on there and find out more about the lighthouse and how you might be able to go out and take a gander at it.
Perfect Father's Day gift, too.
There you go. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.